to The Word for Today. The Word for Today is a continuous study of the Bible taught by Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently teaching from the Old Testament. And if you're following along in your Bible, we'll be continuing today in Isaiah chapter 27, beginning with verse 6, as we continue with an in-depth message entitled, The Restoration of Israel. Now with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
And they began to ship this fruit out to Europe. The Valley of Megiddo was much the same. It was a large, swampy area. They began to buy up property in the Valley of Megiddo. And again, they opened up the river on out to the Mediterranean. And they gained a lot of fabulous farmland there in the Valley of Megiddo. They began to plant it with wheat and with cotton and other crops, and it was very fertile. And gradually, they began to reclaim the land. Of course, they later on made the aqueduct that goes from the Sea of Galilee all the way down to the deserts around Beersheba. And they began to plant these once desert areas, and the ground was very fertile, and the crops were growing in tremendous crops. And so gradually, Israel became an agricultural nation. Until today, they that have come from Jacob have blossomed and budded, and they are filling the earth with fruit. This prophecy is being fulfilled all through Europe. You can find the fruit and the flowers that are grown in Israel. Down in the Jordan Valley, in the wintertime, it's like our Imperial Valley. So they grow tomatoes and cucumbers and squash and all there in the Jordan Valley all winter long. And they then sell these crops in Europe. And so you can go to Europe and you can find the bananas, you can find the citrus fruits and all. You can find the flowers that are grown in Israel and shipped to Europe. And Israel is now the fourth largest nation in the world of fruit export. It ranks number 4 in the world. And this is a nation which size is about the size of the state of New Jersey. And yet the fourth largest fruit exporter in the world. So this prophecy of Isaiah has literally been fulfilled in our day and is being fulfilled at the present time as they fill the face of the world with fruit. Now, he goes on now to talk about his judgment against those nations that he used to judge Israel. God used the Assyrians as his instrument of judgment against the northern kingdom. He used the Babylonians as his instrument of judgment against the southern kingdom. And the prophet asked, has he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? So there were those that smote Israel. And has God smitten those as he did smite Israel through them? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? Did God get retribution against those nations that were used to take Israel and Judah into captivity? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it, and he stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. Now, don't ask me what that scripture means. I've been wrestling with it, and I don't have any answers. That's one of those scriptures that I have filed away that says, wait for further information. I've read this, and I've looked at it, and I'm sorry. I just don't have a clue to what he's referring to there. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be cleansed, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin. Now, God is saying, this is what I'm going to require of Jacob, of Israel, to cleanse it. This is the fruit that I'm looking for to take away their sin. John the Baptist, when he was preaching, said, bring forth fruit that demonstrates repentance. And you can't just say, well, I repent, I'm sorry. Well, let me see it. Let me see some kind of a demonstration in your life that you have changed. Quite often, husbands can be jerks. I mean, they treat their wives like dirt. They don't pay any attention to them. They treat them very shabbily. They spend their time out with the guys. And they don't say kind words. They don't compliment their wives. They treat them like dirt. And many times the wives get so fed up with that, they say, hey, who needs you? And who needs that kind of treatment? And so the guy comes home and he says, where's the paper? And there's no answer. He goes out to the kitchen. There's no dinner being prepared. But there's a note. And says, see you later, buddy. I've had it, you know. And then they come down here and they say, romaine. Call my wife. Tell her I'm a changed man. I'm so sorry. I've been a jerk. I've treated her wrong. And call her up and tell her, Romaine, that I'm down here praying and I'm really changed. And Romaine will say, you made your bed, man. Lie in it for a while. You're a jerk. You don't have enough sense to get up in the morning. I'm not going to call your wife. How do I know you've changed? Just because you're down here crying and all, that doesn't mean you've changed. Let me see something in your life that shows you've changed. And let her see something. In other words, you just can't say, I'm a different man. I've changed, honey. I'm a different man. Show me. Let me see. Bring forth some fruit that demonstrates the changes. And that's what God is saying here. He's looking for certain fruit that demonstrates the change of their attitude and of their hearts. You see, they had turned from God and they had turned to idolatry and they were worshiping false gods. They were worshiping the sex goddesses. They were into pornography. And all of these other things. And God is saying, I want to see some fruit. I want to see demonstrated some fact that you have changed. And the fruit that God was looking for is for them to destroy their altars that they had made to these other gods. And these images of these other gods that they had filled their houses with. So that's the kind of, God said, when I can see this fruit, I will know that they've really changed. When their altars, they grind into chalk stones that are beaten into fine dust. And they have destroyed the images and the idols that they have made. Yet he said the defense city, because of their sin and their turning to these things, their defense city will be desolate. They're going to be taken into captivity. And their place where they dwelt will be forsaken. It will be left like a wilderness. And in the city streets, the calves will feed. In other words, it'll be just such a, there won't be people living there. It'll just be a place where cattle and all sort of pasture in their cities. And there he shall he lie down and consume the branches thereof. And when the boughs thereof are withered, and he's talking about the strength of the nation, it's withered. They shall be broken off. The women will come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. He's talking here of the impending doom that is going to come upon the northern kingdom of Ephraim, and it did follow within 3 years. This prediction was fulfilled upon Ephraim. But it shall come to pass in that day, and this again is that day when God hides Israel and he establishes them again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river under the stream of Egypt. The channel of the river would be Euphrates, and under the stream of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that a great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come that were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, the outcast in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. And so this is that regathering of the people into the land that we see at the present time. Now, in chapter 28, he pronounces the woe upon Ephraim. That was the northern kingdom who turned immediately to idolatry. You remember when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam began to reign. And the people came to Rehoboam from the north, the 10 tribes in the north, and they said, your dad put heavy taxes on us, and they're heavier than we can bear. We need tax relief. And the older men who had counseled his father Solomon said, you better listen to them, Rehoboam. It is true that, you know, your dad was making all these great buildings and everything, and he did overtax the people, and it's time for tax relief. And if you will relieve them, they will remain faithful to you. But his young contemporaries said, hey man, if you give them this, then they're going to be wanting more, and there's no end to it. So you got to hang tough. Go out and hang tough. So he went out to hang tough. He said, you think my dad was tough on you guys? You haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to lay on you greater taxes than even my dad did. And he talked very rough to them, and they said, hey, forget you, man. To your tents, O Israel. And the 10 tribes to the north revolted against Rehoboam, and they set up Jeroboam as their king. Now, Jeroboam figured that if they go back to Jerusalem every year to worship at the feast, and the 3 times a year, the feast of Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, they go back to Jerusalem. He said, if they go back and worship in Jerusalem, their hearts will soon be drawn back to the kingdom there. So he set up a golden calf in Bethel and another one in Dan, the southernmost part and the northernmost part of the kingdom of Israel. He set up these golden calves and altars of worship. And he said, these are your gods that delivered you out of Egypt. And he introduced idolatry and calf worship immediately in the northern kingdom. And as the result, the northern kingdom never did recover. It was never strong. It was always involved in idolatry. Never did really serve God. And so the northern kingdom, the chief tribe of the northern kingdom was the tribe of Ephraim. It was the major tribe, the largest tribe, and thus the northern kingdom is often referred to in the scriptures as Ephraim. And so often when you read of Ephraim, it is a reference to the whole northern kingdom, as it is here. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are in the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Ephraim is about to fall. As I said, within 3 years it did fall. But it is about to fall. It was a place of beauty. The valleys of the area of Ephraim were beautiful valleys. They are beautiful valleys today, very fertile valleys. The city where the capital of Samaria is just beautiful, beautiful country. And there was this pride and all involved with the people. But worse than that, in the time of their national calamity, rather than facing the reality, they turned to drinking. And they became a drunken nation, not facing up to the realities of life, but trying to just sort of put themselves in a state of blotto so they don't have to think about the dangers that they're faced with or the problems or the calamities. They would just get bombed out on booze. And so he's speaking to them. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with his hand. So God is going to bring the Assyrians, and they're going to overflow the land like a storm, mighty tempest, a destroying storm, a flood. And the crown of pride and the drunkards of Ephraim, they will trod under their feet. And so Ephraim is to fall to this storm that God is going to bring against them. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, when he that looketh upon it seeth it while it is yet in his hand, he eats it up. So they're going to be gobbled up. Actually, he's talking about the first ripe figs. Now, if any of you have fig trees, you know that in a good year, you'll have ripe figs in June. You'll get early figs, and they're usually just a few of them. They're not many. This past year, I had maybe six of these June figs, but they're the sweetest. They really are they're the sweetest. Then come August, you get lots of figs. You get your second ripe figs. But there was always the first ripe figs around June, which were very sweet. And they looked forward to these first ripe figs. And they would eat them. They really look for them to eat them quickly. And he's talking about how Ephraim will be like that first ripe fig that as soon as they grab it, they eat it up. And in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. There will be those faithful ones who will seek the Lord. And this is always true. No matter how dark the world is, how deep it falls into sin, God always has his faithful remnant. Now, at the time that Elijah was a prophet, in Ephraim, the northern kingdom, he had this contest with the prophets of Baal, 400 prophets and priests of Baal. And they came to Mount Carmel and they built their altars and they asked Baal to light the fire. And so about the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, okay, guys, step aside. You've had your fun. And then he said, now, Lord, not for my sake, because I know you're there, but for the people's sake, demonstrate that you are God and send fire and, you know, kindle the sacrifice and all. And fire came from heaven and the sacrifice was consumed, the altar itself. And the people said, Jehovah is God. And he took the prophets and priests of Baal down to the stream there, and he killed all 400 of them. And then Jezebel, the wife of the king, heard of what Elijah did. And she said, God, do more to me also if I don't get the head of that prophet. And so, frightened by the threats of Jezebel, he began to run until he came all the way down to the area of Mount Sinai, and there he hid in a cave. You remember the story.
Face to face, Lord, let me know. Face to face, Lord, let me see.
Pastor Chuck Smith will return with a few closing comments. But first, I'd like to remind you that today's message is available in its unedited form on cassette or CD. Simply write or call and ask for ordering details on tape or CD number C3254. Again, that's tape or CD number C3254. Well, as the holiday season is approaching, we'd like to bring to your attention a very helpful resource for families. Knowing it's the time of year when families gather together. Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family Bible Study. In this series, Pastor Chuck discusses basic principles designed to keep your family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in your family can experience real peace, real joy, and unconditional love. And when you call and order Pastor Chuck's Marriage and Family series, the Word for Today would like to bless you with a resource entitled Christian Family Relationships, taken from the books of Ephesians and Colossians. This study reveals the secret to a solid and biblically based Christian family relationship. And right now you can get it for free when you order the Marriage and Family series. And remember, the Word for Today would like to assist you this Christmas in spreading the gospel of Jesus to your family, friends, and co-workers. Please call our customer service department to help you in finding that perfect gift that will reflect the true meaning of Christmas. And if you call right now and mention this radio ad, the Word for Today will give you a 20% discount on any resource carried by the Word for Today. So call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. Or write to us at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-272-9673. And for those of you that would like to visit our website, you can do so at www.twft.com. Or if you would like to email us, you can do so at info@twft.com. Well, coming up next time on The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing his fascinating study through the book of Isaiah. That's coming up next time on The Word for Today. And now, with a few closing comments, here's Pastor Chuck.
At that point, there's only one thing that will be of vital importance. Have I done God's will? Have I brought forth fruit? Is God pleased and satisfied with me? When I face my Maker, will He say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little things, and now I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord." With your life, it's the same thing. God has put you here for one purpose. There is different fruit to be brought forth from our different lives. He has a plan for you just like He has a plan for me. Now, so many times we are so busy trying to work out our own plans, our own schemes, our own ambitions, that we spend our lives upon ourselves. And we come to the end of the road and we realize that it's been a wasted life. I have nothing to show the Lord of eternal value.
This program is sponsored by The Word for Today, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.